Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Dana. This is episode 52 of the Real Talk with Dana podcast, which is nuts because that means I have officially been doing this for an entire year. So before we even get started today, I just wanted to thank you guys for being here for every step of the journey, for one step of the journey. If you just started listening last week, thank you. Welcome. Great to have you here. Hope you stick around. But as you might have been able to tell, if you've been following along on my Instagram in the past couple of months, or even just my messaging with the podcast, the things that I have been talking about have been changing a little bit. From lots of more nutrition science and Whole30 stuff and all of that to more focus on our relationship with food, our relationship with our bodies, and everything that goes along with that. That's going to continue. I'm still going to be bringing you a lot of nutrition science and cool stuff like that, but I'm going to go into much more detail about what I'm talking about right now and my direction for next year when I do a special year-end episode. So you can look forward to that. But in today's episode, we are talking about orthorexia and perfectionism and the fear of not being loved with Haley Hannah Erickson from Holistically Haley. And so what's really interesting about today is Haley has been a listener of the podcast and a longtime reader of the blog, and she just reached out to me because we met at Expo East and she was like, hey, I would love to come on the podcast and just share my story from not a nutritionist perspective, not like a clinician's perspective, but just like as a reader and as basically one of you guys. So if you guys ever want to do that, if you have a cool story to share, just reach out to me. Would love to have you on the show and just have a cool conversation. But Haley is bringing a totally different side to the healing conversation that we're going to talk about today. We've talked about relationship with food, relationship with your body, the shame spiral, all of these things. But Haley's talking about one side of healing that I haven't dug into yet because this wasn't my personal experience at all. We're talking about the spiritual side of healing today and how Haley was able to get through her disordered eating patterns and disordered exercise patterns by using a more spiritual side of things that we haven't really talked about yet. And one important thing to remember about this episode is that your spiritual, mental, and relationship health is far more important than what you eat, how you exercise, or what any kind of number on the scales tells you. Because as I've said multiple times on the podcast, and you guys will probably get sick of hearing this, but it always helps to hear it, that you can be doing all of those things quote unquote right, be completely perfectionistic about all things health, and still be completely unhealthy. And Haley today knows this because she was exactly there. So we're also going to be talking about how so many of us fall prey to the trap of using exercise and food solely for control, to control our bodies and hopefully control what other people think of us and how they perceive us, which so many times stems from a fear of not being loved. So we're talking about why we are fearful of gaining weight, how this cycle manifests, especially in college, and then we're also going to talk a little bit more into what orthorexia is as a form of disordered eating and the warning signs of orthorexia, and then how the emotional, physical, and social consequences of disordered eating or having a messed up relationship with food or exercise or of your body, how this seeps into every aspect of your life. So enjoy the episode. Let me know what you think, and I'll talk to you guys soon. So, Haley, thank you for coming on the podcast today. For people who don't know you, I would love for you to introduce yourself and tell us about your journey.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dana, for having me. So my journey, it's quite a long story. I'll try to just condense it as much as I can.
Oh, we have all day.
Okay. Well, basically, I've been extremely passionate my whole life about just living a healthy lifestyle. I grew up playing sports. I played soccer and basketball my whole life. And I guess I was just used to having like these really just like healthy homemade meals. Not that it was always super clean. I definitely had like Pop-Tarts and Fruit Loops, all that junk. But it was definitely a good balance of having just well-cooked homemade meals and also having, you know, some splurge items as well. But as I got older, really around college is when I started to struggle with an eating disorder. I just remember looking back now, like where it all started. I just, before going to school, I just heard everyone talking about being fearful of gaining the freshman 15. And I know in the back of my mind, that's exactly what I was fearful of, just gaining weight, because my whole life I obviously was active, but I was also just really complimented a lot on my appearance and like always just was told that I was so perfect and had a six pack and all these different things. And although it wasn't anything bad that was said about me, I really started to find my identity in that. And so I just knew going to college, I was like, oh no, there's going to be drinking now. I'm not going to be playing a sport. I'm going to be eating dorm food. And I was just very fearful of gaining that weight and ultimately just fearful of not being loved if I did gain that weight. So I remember committing to myself before going to school. I was like, I'm going to start tracking my food in my phone. Really just kind of trying to track calories, and I'm not going to drink beer. I'll still like go out and drink whatever, but I'm not going to drink beer because that's what makes you put on the freshman 15. And I'm going to also just like really commit to exercising because that is something that I love. But I obviously took that to an extreme. And my sophomore year of college is when it really spiraled out of control. I was in a sorority and I just recalled listening to some girls in my sorority talking about spring break coming up and how they wanted to lose weight. And sadly, I didn't feel super connected with the girls in my sorority. And so I think just like looking back now, I was trying to fit in so badly. And so I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh yeah, like I'm going to try and lose weight too. Like I want to do what they're doing, even though I wasn't going on the same trip with them and I wasn't even really friends with them. And so sure enough, I just like started to become severely restrictive and exercise to an extreme. And I wasn't bulimic or anorexic. I would say it was orthorexic. So just really being perfectionistic about how I was eating and just being consumed by food and taking clean eating to the extreme, which I think is something that people aren't really aware of is a disordered eating or a disordered way of eating, because you're really just being consumed by that. So that's really when it all started, was freshman, sophomore year got really bad when I lost a lot of weight. And yeah, it was just a really dark time for me. I started isolating myself more and more. I didn't really hang out with friends in college. I would make excuses that I had to stay in and study. And I didn't really felt like I enjoyed my college experience that much because I was so consumed by food and exercise in school. And then I guess around like once I graduated from college, I was still definitely very consumed by exercise and food, but just I started naturally gaining weight back as I didn't have the same amount of time to commit to exercising and to being as restrictive. I now had like a real job after college and just didn't have the same time. And so I gradually gained more and more weight, and it was really hard for me having my clothes fitting tighter and just seeing my body change. And honestly, it wasn't until about a year ago that I was really able to just surrender these idols in my life and this just unhealthy way of eating and exercising out of control and trying to fix my body. And it took my health really reaching just a very poor state in order for me to kind of wake up to reality and be like, all right, this is what needs to be let go of and just let God take the wheel. And faith is just like a huge component for me. So that really was like the turning point for my journey, was just being able to surrender that to God and just trust that He was in control with my health. And yeah, just learn from everything that I had to, just learning how to enjoy food and exercise in the right manner.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing. There's so much to unpack there. So I do want to go back to talking more about orthorexia, because commonly when people think of eating disorders or disordered eating, they just think of like anorexia or bulimia. But orthorexia, like you were saying, it's basically just, it's clean eating to the extreme. But I think there are so many people that do this that don't realize that it's a disordered behavior because there are so many people that do it. So can you talk a little bit more about what that actually looks like and like when you realized that it was disordered?
Yeah. So honestly, I didn't even know there was a name for it until recently. Like I just knew that something was really off and not healthy. And so in college, when I started really like over exercising, I was running 6 to 8 miles a day on top of walking at least like 3 to 5 miles, probably walking to classes. And then on top of that, also doing like HIIT strength training for an hour and then being severely restrictive with just eating perfectly. It was just way too much for eating as like clean and as careful as I was. But in terms of the orthorexia, I guess I just really started to associate certain food groups with negative things. Like I wouldn't really eat dairy. I definitely did not eat gluten, did not eat sugar. Like if I had sugar, it was only fruits or like maybe a prune or a fig. I would like allow myself for dessert. And I just like would avoid all social situations that I knew wasn't going to be healthy enough food. And I also didn't even want to eat food that was made by another person because I didn't trust like what oils they might have put into it or how it was prepared. So it was just very consuming and exhausting. And I honestly didn't really think it was that big of an issue in the beginning because I kind of justified it as like, oh yeah, I'm just eating really clean and I'm really healthy. But the more and more I grew spiritually, I saw just like, I don't know, it was almost like I woke up to how unhealthy this was. And I just remember actually like walking to work and I was just like, wow, like all I could think about was what's my next meal gonna be? And then I just remembered too, like after I would eat or before I'd eat, I was always fearful of, is this healthy enough? Or after I ate, did I eat too much? Did I eat too little? Did I get enough protein? Like always just overanalyzing everything I did. And it was just consuming my life. Food and exercise was.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is like part of the reason why you probably didn't realize it was disordered or unhealthy was because this is so common on college campuses. Like this was my experience. Like almost everyone that I've ever talked to who is a girl, especially if you are in a sorority or if you played any kind of sport, like I swam and played volleyball in high school and then in college. And when you're in a body conscious sport or you're in a sorority or something where your body is like always on display and you're always paying attention to it, there will always be girls who will take it to the extreme. And there will always people be making comments of like, oh, I can't eat that. That'll make me fat. Or like, oh my God, I feel so bad today. You know, I feel so fat. I always think about Mean Girls when they're like tearing themselves apart in the mirror with this. But like, we laugh at that because it's so silly when they're like, oh my God, my cuticles are so big. But those are, I mean, that's taking it to an extreme, but
yeah,
that's really the way that some people pick apart every single aspect of their bodies in the mirror, especially in college, because there are so many people of the same age around and like so many good looking people. And it's just, it's a crazy environment. And you start to think that the behaviors that you're doing are completely normal only because other people are doing them too.
Yeah. And you also hear, like as a girl at least, I heard a lot of like just horror stories about, oh my gosh, she gained like 30 pounds. Like she's so ugly and like fat and like just other people's stories where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't let that happen to me. Like,
Yeah, because you don't want them to talk about you that way.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, so especially because
how you felt, but
yeah. Well, because especially in college, I mean, you most of the time you go off to school and you don't know a lot of people. You're trying to find your friend group freshman year, and you like don't know who you're going to be friends with. And you also know in the back of your head, oh my gosh, some of these people are going to be my friends for the rest of my life. So I'm picking some of my best friends right now. And there's just a lot of pressure going on with a lot of changes and being away from home and like the new food system that you have to get used to, whether you're cooking your own food or you're cooking dorm food. And it's just, it's a lot of stress, and a lot of people will cope with that stress by searching for something to control. And they know that if they control their food and their exercise, that they can control their bodies. And they hope that, whether it's conscious or subconscious, that if they can control what their bodies look like, they will perceive what other people feel about them.
Yeah, totally. And like, honestly, so right now I'm in a Bible study and we're talking a lot about shame. And obviously if you're dealing with an eating disorder, you're definitely dealing with shame. But one thing that I thought was really interesting is we were trying to figure out what those like shame triggers are in our life. Because even though, yes, I've come like I've drastically gotten a lot better from where I was, I still want to revert back to those old ways because, you know, I'm human, I'm imperfect, and I mess up every day. Mm-hmm. But one thing that really triggers that like shame or me wanting to go back into that negative state is really when I spend too much time on social media, like on Instagram. I realize that if I start looking at people's profiles, in particular women and people that have like amazing bodies, because obviously I like to follow a lot of food and fitness bloggers, I get in this trap where it's just like I'm looking at their pictures and then that will lead me to another person that has an amazing body, and then I'm looking at myself differently in the mirror, and it's just this really unhealthy cycle. And so I think that's something that's really helped me right now is just realizing what are those triggers that gets me back into that old state, because I really am taking time to just not be on social media unless it's to post something that I think will actually add value to other people's life, or else I'm trying to really not scroll on there at all.
Right, exactly. Because a lot of the people that are posting those pictures are trying to use it to validate themselves as well.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's good to say that, you know, even us who are completely recovered and, you know, you can feel great about your body and be having a really good day and be really happy and everything. And you can scroll through social media and depending on what your feed looks like, 10 minutes later, you're feeling like crap about yourself, you know? So like, this is an exercise that I do with a lot of my clients is to get rid of those triggers specifically on social media, and getting rid of anything in your feed that doesn't, like you say, add value to your life or that doesn't make you feel good about yourself, you know, like, and maybe that means you're pruning your feed so you're only looking at puppies all day, you know, like, and that's totally fine too.
Or babies.
Yeah, puppies or babies or rainbows or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
But there's just so much potential for shame triggering basically on social media now. And it's gotten to a point where it's ridiculous. And even if you try and get everything that could be potentially triggering out of your life, you're still going to be exposed to it in some way or another.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It just like kind of terrifies me, honestly, for kids growing up with that. Mm-hmm. And just like, I can't imagine being in middle school with something like Instagram. Like, it just freaks me out. And so I just think there needs to be more people like you and myself that really can speak out about this stuff to younger girls before they fall into the same trap.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you bring that up because so I'm a swim coach also to middle school kids. And it's really interesting to see what they go through and basically how they value popularity and what determines what their popularity is, which, I mean, I don't think there are any eighth graders that listen to this podcast, but as far as I can tell, the more Instagram followers you have, the more popular you are. So mm-hmm. It's funny because they think I'm like a goddess because I have whatever, how many thousand Instagram followers, because it's my business, right? And because I've been growing it since they were like eight, right? Or maybe before that. But it's crazy because they're like, oh my gosh, Coach Dana, like you have so many followers. That is so cool. But then like, growing up with that as your standard, you know, as social media, like I can only imagine the crazy things that are going through their heads. I'm so glad that that was not my experience. And Instagram wasn't even really popular until I was like a senior in college or afterwards, because I cannot imagine going through high school with that.
I know. Oh, just in the bullying too. Like, it's just so much easier on social media. It's scary.
Yeah, well, okay, this is a funny aside, but speaking of mean girls and bullying on social media, so I saw there's a Mean Girls play on Broadway. And when Mean Girls first came out, it was in like 2003 or 2004. And social media wasn't a thing yet, or it was, just in its infancy and nobody really knew about it. So in the movie, there's no social media or anything, but they like everyone is horrible to each other and they have this burn book where they write horrible things about each other. But in the new play, they updated it so that this the burn book is basically virtual, right? So it's all over Twitter and Instagram. So on the
Oh, God.
stage, yeah, they created like a virtual burn book where it's like tweets about people and Instagram posts and like I mean, we hear all the time that bullying is happening during or on social media, but that really brought it to light for me, which like how horrible must it be to just be in an onslaught of bullying when you're not even at school? You know, like it's bad enough to deal with these mean girls or whoever it is and all of the changes that you're going with your body and these hormones that are just crazy raging when you're in high school and stuff, without having to worry about, okay, I have to do this at school already, but now on social media, like you have to deal with it all day, every day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's awful. Everything's using technology now. Like everything, I feel like aren't all their school books on like computers now and everything too?
Yeah.
Just way too much easy access for that type of bullying too.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned, I think last week on your Instagram, you were talking about your journey and how your spiritual, your mental health, like the whole picture of your health and happiness is so much more important than what you eat or how you're exercising or what a number on the scale tells you. And I love how you said that. You can be doing all of those things like the eating, the scale, the exercise, quote unquote, right, and you can still be completely unhealthy or completely unhappy. So I would
Yeah.
love for you to share how you came to that realization.
I came to that realization by experiencing it. So, like I said, about a year ago is when I was really able to step out of this disordered eating. And it took my health reaching its breaking point in order for me to really let go of this. So, I don't want to go into like too many details about like the state of my health because obviously I'm sure you don't want to hear everything. But I did deal with like severe digestion issues. I was extremely constipated for about 3 months to be really raw with you. On top of a lot of bloating and just like I felt like my body literally could not digest food. Like I was not getting any nutrients despite eating healthy food. So I was pretty much on paper, eating quote unquote perfectly, eating all the right foods, but yet I wasn't able to really absorb that. I wasn't able to eliminate that. I had absolutely no energy. I couldn't sleep. I just was terribly unhealthy. And also before that, I was exercising quote unquote perfectly. Like I do really quality HIIT strength training type of workouts. And yet I still kept gaining weight doing like even if I was eating right and exercising, I was putting on more and more weight, but my mental health was so poor and my physical health was awful as well. Like I said, no energy, gaining weight, just felt like crap every day. And so that's where I realized I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm clearly missing some key components to living a healthy life because I'm doing the food and fitness stuff right and it's not working for me. And so that's when I really was like, I just need to surrender this to God because my faith is number one, but I wasn't truly living that because I was still putting food and fitness before God and just really idolizing them. And so as
Yeah.
soon as I finally let go of that, it definitely didn't happen overnight where my health just all of a sudden changed. But over the span of about 3 months, I really saw improvements all around with my health. Because I started to see how much this disordered eating had impacted all these different areas. It had hurt my relationships with my family members. It hurt relationships with my friends. I had isolated myself for, I felt like, at least 5 years because I was so consumed by making enough time for myself to exercise and wouldn't go out to social situations because I was fearful of what the food would be like. And my family, I realized how much. I was just like devastated to think of how many times I had prioritized workouts over spending quality time with my family. And spiritually, I just saw also how much that hurt my relationship with God because I was putting these other things over him. And then lastly, just like emotionally, I saw how awful my thoughts were. Just like the way I would look at myself in the mirror, I didn't even want to look at myself in the mirror. I was just so devastated with how I looked. And it was awful. That's why I was like, holy cow, like something needs to change here. And so, as soon as I let go of that, I just honestly, I fasted from the gym for 3 months, which was a really hard thing for me to do. Someone who likes to exercise 5 to 6 days a week, that was a very challenging thing for me. But my health was just in such a poor state, and I honestly had no desire to work out anymore. I was like, all I wanted to do was just cry and journal and read the Bible and just like pray and like let God heal me. And that's what I did every day after work. And it was definitely a really challenging 3 months because no one really knew what was going on. I couldn't really tell anyone at work. And the only person I really had told was my mom. So it was just like a really hard time, but at the same time, it was the best thing I could have ever gone through. And God healed me in so many different ways. Really just, I guess, improving those other areas in my life that I was missing. Starting off with just my spiritual health and my emotional health. I guess with like reading the Bible and just like journaling and understanding where it was all stemming from, which it was stemming from this fear of not being loved. I just started to come up with more and more ways of like how to really overcome that. And I started surrounding myself with positive things that really helped me get into a healthy mindset. So like I guess some examples, I have like Bible verses on my mirrors, or I have things like you're beautiful. So like every time I'm getting ready in the morning, I'm seeing that. I also have reminders on my phone. I have like Bible verses on like the background of my phone, but I also have reminders that go off in the morning and the middle of the day and at night that are just whatever it is I need to hear at that point in my life, whether it's just to like, again, look at yourself and say you're beautiful, or to be still, because that's something that I also like to practice when I get anxious at work or whatever it is. So having those like daily reminders throughout the day really helped me. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of went off on a tangent there, but there's been a lot of different things that have helped me come out of this.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so helpful when we talk about these practical tips for how we were able to stop having those thoughts about ourselves, how to get out of the cycle. But I think one thing that's super important to touch on also is that, like, even during the process of recovery, especially, and then even afterwards, sometimes you will be exposed to one of these shame triggers, right? And then it's like, oh, the thoughts start to creep in. So, what do you do now, and what did you do in recovery whenever those thoughts would come back and you wanted to slip into old patterns because it was a source of comfort?
Yeah, so you're saying more like if I want to turn to like food or exercise and trying to like control those areas? Yeah, so I mean, right now, like I said, social media is something that I know is a big trigger for me. And I don't really have time right now to try and sort out all like the people that I follow that aren't good for me. So I just like honestly don't have much time to be on social media, which is a good thing. I'm filling my time with other things outside of work and being more with friends, getting involved in church. So I guess things when I do realize like outside of social media that trigger that, when I get caught in that, I think it's really important to understand what emotion that's bringing up. So like I said, when I'm feeling shame, it's like what's causing that shame? Is it because I'm like disappointed in myself? So like right now it might not be me controlling food. I would say the bigger issue that I'm having now is going the other way. Like if I overeat, that's definitely an issue and something that I feel like God is walking me through right now. Because we all have times where we eat too much and then you feel gross and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so mad at myself that I just ate too much. Why did I do that? But when it starts to happen more and more, you're like, okay, something needs to change here. And so for me right now, it's recognizing what emotion am I feeling? Is it Like I'm really frustrated with myself. But if you peel back the layers further than that, like what's beneath that, it really goes back to fear again, because I'm fearful of will I be loved if I gain that weight from eating too much? Or I'm fearful of if I don't exercise enough, will I still be loved if I gain that weight? So it all stems back to this fear of not being worthy or not being loved. But as soon as I can recognize that, I guess just kind of like the stupid fear that's going in my mind because it's not really something you should be fearful of. That's what helps me snap back out of it because I realize that I'm loved by God no matter what. He created me for a specific reason to be here on this earth, and I feel really called to help people with their health. And I know I have so much more to my life than just what my physical appearance is. And when I start to also just focus on the transformation that I have made and how my heart has changed, that also helps me snap back out of it because I realize that I'm definitely not the same person I was a year ago. I have so much more compassion for people. And all I want to do is just love on people and help people live a healthy, rich life in Christ. So I think those things really help me a lot, but also just opening up about these things. You know, the more we sit in our shame, it really just continues to grow, kind of like mold. It grows in that dark place. But as soon as you bring it to the light, so bringing it to a friend that you trust or a family member, as well as for me, it's like journaling about it and bringing it to God and praying about it and asking for help. That's really what diminishes that power of the shame. And it helps me just almost recognize that it's just anxiety that's arising over things that don't really matter too. Because sometimes you create these stories in your mind that freak you out so much, but as soon as you start talking about it, you're like, oh my gosh, why am I even worrying about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really important to touch on what you were saying before, the overeating part, because this is definitely an overcompensation mechanisms that happens to people when they're in recovery and even afterwards, because for so long you controlled your food, you controlled your exercise, and you took it to the extreme, and now your body's, it's like your body's testing you, basically. Like, okay, I'm just making sure that you're not restricted anymore, that I'm gonna overeat, and then what's gonna happen? Are you gonna restrict? You know, it's like it's almost like it's playing a game with you, and it's just seeing like if you will restrict the next day. But one thing that's really important to remember is that most likely when you're in recovery from any kind of disordered eating or restriction, even or whatever it is, you're most likely going to experience some kind of overeating at some point, as an overcompensation mechanism. But taking that as a learning step, as part of your journey, and not a setback to set you spiraling in the other direction, because it's super important to think about that, because it very easily could set you spiraling back in the other direction. You know, if it happens more than a couple of times, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just in a binge and now I need to restrict. And then the shame cycle starts again. But, you know, if you overeat one time, especially because now like the holidays are coming up, and if you overeat at Thanksgiving or Christmas or whenever it is, like it might be uncomfortable in the moment, but that doesn't mean that your life has to spiral out of control and that you have to go back into controlling into those old patterns, because you've come so far already. And just acknowledging that as a part of your journey and like a learning experience, saying, okay, like this food, however much I ate, like I don't feel great now. So tomorrow, I'm just not going to eat as much as I did right now, because tomorrow I don't want to feel this bad. You know, and it's little simple things like that that the brain just does not go to when you have this history of a disordered relationship with food and your body, because you automatically think in terms of black and white and yes and no, and oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I shouldn't have done this, and I overate, so I'm a bad person, and now no one's gonna love me, and I'm gonna gain weight, and then no one's gonna like me, and you know, all of this. It's a crazy cycle to try and get out of, but it is possible.
Yeah, I think it's really like letting go of that perfectionistic mentality, which has been such a struggle for me my whole life in all different areas. But also, what I was going to say is something I'm really trying to practice right now is something I like to call sane eating. So it's like an acronym. So rather than eating insanely and going crazy overboard or maybe like severely starving yourself, what sane eating stands for. The S is starting when you're hungry. A is appreciating every bite. N is no food is off limits. So again, allowing yourself good and bad food in balance. And then E is ending when you're satisfied. So that's something that I personally really want to eat in that manner, I guess, and how I want to help others. I think there's so many people that are just trying to find the right diet plan, whether it's paleo or keto or Whole 30 or gluten-free, dairy-free. And those things might work for someone. But again, I think it just kind of starts that cycle of getting or being controlled by food again, or trying to control food in some manner. So I think if we can just really go back to the basics and get in tune with what our body is telling us, when our body's hungry and when it's satisfied, that is the ultimate goal for me and how I want to help others.
Yeah. And doing another diet or just restricting more is never the answer to getting out of this cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Oh man. So much. Well, thank you. This has been amazing. So before I let you go, I would love for you to share one book that has been the most impactful for you on your journey.
I would say the book right now is amazing for anyone that struggled with perfectionism or just not feeling like they're worthy, whether it's with the way their body looks, with the way they perform at work, with their achievements, with how much money they make, anything like that. And it's called The Gifts of Imperfection. Have you ever read that book?
I'm reading that right now.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love it. What do you think?
It's great so far. I'm reading it every morning while I have some tea, like as part of my morning routine before I get ready for the day. And I just like, I've read it and now I'm reading it for a second time and I'm just highlighting and writing notes in it and stuff for this body image course that I'm going to be creating for early in the new year. But okay. It's just like, is there so much in there? So I completely agree. If I'll put this in the show notes. If you guys haven't read The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, or really anything that woman writes is just amazing. Yeah. You need it.
Yeah, another one too, since you've already heard of that one, would be The Road Back to You. That one really helped me understand more of like, where was this eating disorder stemming from? And it really helped me root back to that fear of not being loved and accepted. So for me, I've realized that I really have more of a fear-based approach to life, mm-hmm. not just with food and fitness, but really everything. And one thing I struggle with is just like going back into more like anxiety when I do let fear take over. And so that's been really healing for me just to understand those emotions. And just, I think when you can connect to your emotions better, then you can like work through it better. And so that's been really helpful for me as well.
Definitely. I love that. Oh my gosh. So many nuggets of knowledge in this one. I love this. Well, before I let you go, let people know where they can find you.
My Instagram name is Holistically Haley, so feel free to follow me on Instagram. And I do have a blog on there, but I have not updated it in a very long time. Work has kept me quite busy. But I also work for Vital Proteins. So if you guys are ever at any trade shows, I will hopefully be at some of those. That's how I met Dana mm-hmm. at the Expo East show. But I absolutely love doing trade shows and connecting with like-minded individuals. So yeah, I would say those are two great ways to meet me.
Yeah, so fun. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.